Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Here we are once again. We're back. Jamie D and Big Newt right here. I'm Jamie D'Amico and he is Big Chris Newton. We come at you every other week in the off season, and it is coming up on draft time. And Big Newt, did you know I'm actually going to be out of the country during the draft?
I did not know that, but knowing the global globetrotter you are, it doesn't surprise me. You got plenty of steps on your passport.
I don't know how I feel about this, but anyway, I am going to be in Japan and Korea while the draft happens, and also, you know, this is something that I rather enjoy, and I'm not going to get to watch, but at least I get to talk to you about it, huh?
Why the hell are you going to Japan?
Wife wants to.
So you're just going for funsies, not for work, because you have to, you're just going for funsies.
Going for funsies, seeing some friends, you know, working it all out, but... So, we are going to reflect on Bills drafts of the past in this episode, and we're going to talk about the job that Brandon Bean has done bringing talent, and this is a controversial topic. Yeah, some people feel that Bean does not draft well, and I know that you're amongst those, and I'm so glad that you brought this up, because we need to flesh this out a little bit, buddy.
I want to go back to you having friends in Japan.
Yeah?
I'm just saying. I just thought that was funny. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I did. Yeah.
How long does it take to get to, we're going to get to what we need to get to. I'm sorry. How long does it take to get to Japan?
I think it's like 20 hours.
Good Lord.
And that's why we're staying for 2.5 weeks.
Good Lord. Hey, babe, how long did it take us to get to Rome? It was like 8 hours.
It takes 8 hours.
Yeah, it was about 8 hours. I was like, God, get me out of this plane.
Yeah.
You're going 20 hours.
You got to get the seats that lay flat, man.
Good Lord.
So you can sleep.
My bum would be killing me, man. Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to get up and walk around. Oh, there's no doubt about that. Do some squats and everything else.
I've been to Hawaii a couple of times, but I broke that flight up. The first time I went to Houston and then went to Hawaii. The second time I went to Los Angeles and then Hawaii. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, you fly all the way across the country, and then you still got 4 or 5 more hours. Good Lord, man. God bless you, man.
Our flight is being broken up is really funny because we're flying D.C. to Toronto, which it's like an hour in the air, and then the rest of it all in one trip from Toronto. Toronto to Tokyo.
God bless you, man. I hope y'all have fun, man. You got to let us know. You got to get on Twitter. First of all, let us know you're safe. And then second of all, let us know about your trip. That's interesting.
Hey, baby, I will do that. I will do that. But, hey, man, I know you got things you want to talk about. It's like the big new time of year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because you know I love this. So, you know, mm-hmm. I love all the scuttlebutt draft talk. Now that it looks like free agency is over for us, I don't think we're going to be doing too much moving. It's now preparing for the draft. So we're about 3-4 weeks out. So, but I wanted to talk. Do you want to talk about your mock draft that you wanted? You speaking of Twitter, you want to talk about that mock draft that you okayed? Or you don't want to talk about that?
No, I think maybe we should talk about that because, I kind of went and ran through it, and you certainly did not like it.
I said, hell no. I said, hell no to that. So do you want, I mean, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm just like.
No, I don't mind you putting me on the spot.
You know.
So here's what I did in that draft. I traded out of the first round in exchange for 2 third-round picks. So I dropped down to 42 and picked up 2 third-rounders. And I believe I also picked up a future high pick. Yeah, for the following year's draft. And I ended up drafting Ladd McConkey, number one, Edge, Braylon Trice, Cole Bishop, who's a safety, and then just to go from there, went guard, tackle, center, tackle. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start again.
Yeah.
I went guard, defensive tackle, center, offensive tackle, cornerback, edge, running back, linebacker, tight end. And every single one of them has an unbelievable raw athletic score.
All right. So you made this, or did you see somebody and you just retweeted it?
No, I did this. I did a draft simulation. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I got you. So that's 12 picks. So you picked up an extra one. Because we got 11 picks, right?
Right. And we know that, you know, for the sake of time, I didn't do any trading. We know that Brandon Bean is going to trade up.
Right.
So, like, there's no way the Bills are going to stick with 11 picks. There's no reason for that.
It's going to be trades one way or the other. That.
Tell me why you didn't like that.
But you know what? Here, I will say I like it from the standpoint we need cheap labor. Is that bad to say? I shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean.
I don't think that's bad.
Okay, like, I just want to make sure. Okay, we need, because our salary cap situation, we need people on rookie contracts. How about that?
Yeah.
And so us picking up 12 draft picks, the only thing I will push back on is two things. One, I don't want to trade out at first.
No.
Yeah. Even if it is to pick up extra thirds, who we probably do need, I feel like we need impact players. And I think at 28, we could get an impact player still. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, no, I don't want to give up that first round pick. Right. I feel like at 28, there are multiple guys there that could be an impact on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then number two, what I would say is we're still a Super Bowl contending team.
Mm-hmm.
Do 12 draft picks, would they make this team?
No, I don't think so.
So then that's why I'm like, why pick? We're still in a situation. I feel like before we pick, move back, I feel like we'll trade 11 picks, use some picks to move up to get somebody who's more impactful than what Brandon Bean think we're going to get at 28.
Okay.
That's so what I think. But
my
liking
was at the time was that I was on the clock and there were three receivers there and a couple of defensive ends that I all thought, you know what? There's some good players right here. I think I can drop back and still get one of these good players and also fill in the third round a little bit.
And that's fair. Okay. I don't know. I guess I would rather move up.
Yeah.
That's all. I guess when I was looking at it without talking to you, I feel like a lot of it is, oh man, we're set. No, we're not set. And we're going to talk about Brandon Bean's drafts. He averages two or three starters per draft, right?
Yes.
And that's cool, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I always say, I don't know how he drafts. First, second, thirds have been hits and misses, but mm-hmm. he hits on third, fourth, fifth. We've talked about that, right? But I admire him because he hit on the most important one, and that's Josh Allen, okay?
Yes.
So let's fill in around him. And so I just think we can't be complacent thinking we're set. Mm-hmm. I said this at the beginning of the process, and I still say it. We still need a couple starters. And if we draft right, we could get that.
Sure.
You know, so that's all. But I see the way you're looking at it. You're looking at our new, if we got 12 picks, we're more apt to get a guy. You know what I'm saying? So if we miss on our first, second pick, then like Christian Bedford, we could get a guy in the sixth, seventh round. You know what I'm saying? So that's fair. I see it from that standpoint. But I just think at 28, it's guys there that I like. And I think if we moved up in the teens, it'd be guys that I really like. You know? But it's like, I don't want to trade a second. I don't want to trade a third. But at 28, if we got that receiver from Texas, maybe we move up a couple spots, get that second receiver from LSU, or do we stand pat and get Big Newton from Illinois? Don't get confused. It's not a cousin or anything of mine. His last name is just Newton, and he a D tackle from Illinois. And I just want his jersey, you know? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I just, it's like a dinner. You got your main course, you got your sides, you fill in with a nice dessert. I like putting all this together. It's going to be fun.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, like I said, when I'm doing the draft simulations, I always do it on, I make it go as fast as possible. So I don't have time to actually look at what's coming off the board. It just basically is like, you're up. Do you want to trade or not?
Right.
I think in most cases, if it was moving at a normal speed, I would see the players coming off the board and try to move up. Honestly, I don't have the kind of time.
No, and I apologize. I got on your head when
there's
I said
no reason
hell
to apologize.
No, listen, I'm just telling you my thinking when I was like when you tweeted that out, and I was like, oh hell no, right? I just thought that you pulled that from somewhere else. I didn't know this was your mock, and I didn't know it was time restraints.
Oh, so now you feel bad for criticizing me specifically?
Yeah, because I now I understand. But I thought you pulled somebody else's and you was like, oh, what say you? And I'm like, hell no. Like, but if you're doing it as fast and all that, yeah, I get it. I understand that. So,
yeah.
I'm like, no, dude, I want to stay at 28.
Yeah, okay. I definitely hear that. I hear that.
What do you think Brandon Mean's going to do? If you had to guess right now, 3-4 weeks out, if you had to guess whether we move up, stay pat, or move back, what did you think?
I'm willing to bet he moves up.
I think he's going to move up too.
He's going to move up, and he's probably going to trade 2025 picks as well in order to do it.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to move up if you don't have a third rounder. So if you move up, people are going to be asking for a second round pick, and I'm not sure you're going to want to give up a second in order to move up a couple of spots. They probably can't get much higher than the low 20s, but I think where you're going to see them moving up more is in the middle rounds.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see.
So you feel like it's more apt we're going to move up in the third, fourth, fifth. We'll move up from our spot to more, you know, a couple spots in those rounds where it won't cost as much.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Yeah, I think that they're going to, as they always do, they're going to have their eye on a couple of people that are going to start sliding, and they're going to say, oh, wait a minute, I got to do something about getting this person in. And, you know.
Okay.
I don't mind that.
Do you feel comfortable right now and we're going off the cuff here. Do you feel comfortable right now with our cornerback number two?
Yes.
Because Christian Benford is probably starting right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel great about him.
You feel good about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kyrie Elam being your number three.
No, I don't feel good about Kyrie Elam being a number three.
So you think we need to draft, a corner. Do you think a corner could come in? Let's say we draft a corner in the third, fourth round. I don't want to draft a corner in the first.
Okay.
So let's say we get one in the third, fourth round. Do you think that guy could come in and surpass Elam?
I think
so. As a number three corner.
Well, you know, I think Christian Benford is a very good corner, and he was a sixth rounder. So while Elam didn't work out, the Bills have shown an ability to bring in corners in the late rounds that turn into starters.
Okay. So you're not worried about the third guy then? Okay.
No.
That's fair. We can address that, all right? That's fair. Let me ask you this, because I think this happened within the last 2 weeks. We haven't been on air in 2 weeks. We signed Mike Edwards at free safety, right? And so he's coming over from the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you feel comfortable with him starting?
It's interesting because Jordan Poyer was not a starter when the Bills brought him in.
Right.
And he turned into an all-pro.
He did.
And I'm willing to bet that if the Bills see things that they like in Mike Edwards, that yes, I think I could be okay with him starting. What I who I'm not comfortable with starting is Taylor Rapp.
I think that's what I was gonna say next.
Is a backup.
So you can see us, but you know how McDermott is about young defensive players. Do you think we would address a strong safety in the draft? And then they would start over Taylor Rapp?
Yeah, I maybe not early in the season, but I feel like eventually we saw that when Osiris Torrance was the best player on the offensive line at guard, that they did, in fact, insert him. Right. So I think that it depends on how low your floor is. And I feel like the safety position, the floor is pretty low right now, and you could find somebody to come in above that.
Okay. The linebacker core is pretty much set, I think.
I would think.
As long as Matt Milano come back healthy, Terrell Bernard. We picked up Morrow, and we still got Dorian Williams and Spector. All right. As far as the defensive line is concerned, like I said, some people in the mock drafts got us taking Big Newton out of Illinois. Some people got us taking Chop Robinson out of Penn State, edge rusher. I've seen edge rushers there. That's obviously, I mean, we would be planning for the future without Von Miller. And I don't see us not re-signing Greg Rousseau, right?
Well, they've already said that they're going to exercise his fifth-year option, which is going to be $19 million.
But I would think we got to keep – well, I don't know what kind of money Greg Rousseau is going to command on the open market after this. But
not $19
million. Yeah. But we'll have money, hopefully, if we get rid of Von Miller after next year. So, yes. And then we have A.J. Epinesa who re-upped. So I don't know if – edge rusher, I don't know if that's an immediate need this year.
No, but in 2 years, it might be a huge need.
It might be a huge need, so get it early. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. Offensive line, if we stay at 28, we could get a good offensive lineman there that could start for us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you believe in David Edwards as your starting left guard?
I am not sure. I think that guard and or center are positions that the Bills are going to strongly consider in this draft.
First round? Because my thing is we could get a starting guard or a starting center in the number 28 pick.
You absolutely can.
And I feel safe about it. It'll be safe.
Well, you know, typically centers are drafted later than most other positions. You could probably get a starting center in the fourth round.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Third, fourth round, you're right.
You could. I'm not saying you will, but it's possible. But if you could draft a guy, regardless of position, and they talk about positional value, and they say center just doesn't have a lot of positional value when it comes to draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you buck that trend and go for an internal offensive lineman? Or does it just not have the positional value? So let's talk about positional value for a second. When you look at the top of the draft, the people who get selected typically are from only a handful of positions. Your first couple of selections are typically quarterbacks and edge rushers. And after the first couple of picks, then they start considering corners and wideouts.
Mm-hmm.
Left tackles. That's the other thing that shows up right up at the top. Left tackle, I mean, that's like gold. Players you don't see selected in the top of the first round, linebackers, safeties,
right,
running backs, because the positional value just isn't there. At what point does positional value mean less and you go ahead and select that player regardless of position?
And that's the thing with Bean. Bean's always been about the value being there, mm-hmm. right? So he probably won't buck that trend. Where us as fans looking at it like, man, I just want to get starters there. Like, when we look at our team right now, right, you're thinking, what do we need? We could get a good receiver, a good internal lineman, all right, interior lineman, excuse me, a good interior lineman, and you could get a corner. But we probably won't do that.
You can also get a safety.
And you could probably get a starting safety there. Now, boom, when you look at us on paper, it looks like it works. Where GMs, when they look at it, they're looking at the value of the pick. They're looking at, they don't want to feel like they're reaching on the pick. And so you're right. If you look at ESPN, you know that's what all of us go by, right? Mm-hmm. It burns our butts as fans where we don't do what Todd McShay and Kuiper says. It burns our butts. It's like,
oh, yeah, we get very upset about these guys
so
that
upset about
don't that, work in the league.
You know what I'm saying? Because what? Because all you're going to go by until you see us play in August and September is what is Mel Kiper grade us as, right?
Right.
And so it's like you want to win. Like they talk about people who win the offseason. And I just remember when we sucked and we draft, they'll be like, well, that's why the Bills are always going to be the Bills. Or that's why the Colts or the Colts or whoever inserts sucky team because they don't draft well, yeah. Right? And so you never want to hear that after a bad season that, okay, Mel Kiper doesn't approve the draft. You want to see a grade, and it makes you feel good until they put on the pads.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know? But you look at ESPN, and they got the best center available is Graham Barton. And they rank him number 35 in an 87 grade, all right? Mm-hmm. So 35, I guess that's borderline first going into the second, right?
Yep.
And then the best guard is Christian Haynes from UConn. His grade is an 80, and his overall rank is 65. These are the best at those positions. So you're right. You're looking at that. That would be a reach for us to take one of those guys at with our number one pick, right? But yeah. You're right. About four or five of these guys are going to be starters next year, a guard and a center. So we could get one of those guys probably in the third round that would come in and start for us, right?
You know, a few years ago, 2 years ago, the Ravens were criticized because they drafted Hamilton.
Yep.
And then, was it Lindenboulder? A center and a safety in the first round. And they're like, but that just doesn't have the positional value. Meanwhile, the Ravens said, positional value, my ass. These are good players.
Right. And Hamilton has gone on and made a Pro Bowl, I believe.
Yeah.
Hamilton out of Notre Dame. So now we're talking about semantics. We're talking about position of need versus value. Mm-hmm. Right. And so once again, when I look at, do we agree on that? When we look at our roster right now as it stands, we look at it like, man, we could use a receiver, we could use a safety, and we could use interior linemen.
And I think a D-end.
And an edge rusher. So those could be four things that we could address. So naturally, as a fan, you're thinking, man, I want to address those four needs in the first, second, and third round.
That's always the way we look at it.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Because we're like, if we don't get the position we need the most, if we don't draft it in the first round, it's an utter failure.
Right.
Which is just not how the draft actually works.
And that ain't how it works. And so therefore, we're never going to be happy. That's right. Why when I looked at your mock, I'm like, dude, and don't get me wrong, old boy from Georgia is nice, right? The dude you drafted, he's nice. But I'm like, man, I want the kid out of Texas or I want the kid out of LSU. You know, and we could be in position to get one of those two guys, but we probably won't.
Well, you know,
we'll probably take a running back, just like Kincaid. I hated that pick last year, even though Kincaid came in and had a great season.
Yeah,
you know, but I hated the pick. We just had re-signed Dawson Knox. What do we need Kincaid for? Oh, we're gonna go 12 personnel, and we're gonna use both of them. I'm like, okay. And he had a great season.
Yeah, he had a good year. So, you know? So how do you feel about that pick now?
I still think we're upside down in our roster. Yeah. Meaning we got Kincaid, but we're paying Knox. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we took James Cook and he rushed for 1,000 yards, made a Pro Bowl, but did we really need that pick? You know? So you want good players. I get it. It's just, I just think when you don't win the Super Bowl or come close to it, right, then you feel your needs and have a healthy roster with a healthy budget. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
With the cap space. That's what I don't like about the Bills right now. And that's mostly because of one person. That's mostly because of Von Miller. But then you got Diggs. And I told you, I've been, my thing is, if you're not, let me miss my word because I don't want to say, oh, I'll give hot takes. If Diggs, can we agree on that he probably is not unhappy because his usage the last couple years? Diggs feels like I'm one of the best receivers in the game. And so when he had these games where he have 15 yards, 20 yards, he's going to pout a little bit. And that ain't a Diggs thing. That's a wide receiver thing.
Yes.
And so my thing is, if you're going to pay him all this money and you're not going to use him, then that makes for an unhealthy roster. So that's the problem I have with Diggs. That's why I'm like, just trade him. If you're not going to use him and give him what he wants, trade him. That's how I feel about it. If you're going to have Dalton Kincaid, if you're going to have Dawson Knox and you're paying him like a top five, top 10 tight end, but you're not giving him the usage, then you gave him too much money.
Well, they know they gave him too much money and he renegotiated.
Right.
And he's taking less this year.
He gave some back. So I'm thinking, once you gave him that money, why would you get Dalton Kincaid? But it worked out. That's fine. Well, now we got two decent tight ends.
I mean, if we're talking about the reason why, because they knew that they needed a receiver and he was the best receiver available. Last year was a bad receiver draft. And Kincaid, they looked at and said, you know what? This will be our slot guy, or the equivalent of our slot guy. Maybe we can get some mismatches.
True.
I mean, so I think that's what they were considering there.
So now this is a receiver draft. They're saying, hey, you can get good guys in the second, third round.
Yes.
I've heard people say that we might take two receivers.
Would that be,
if we spent a first and a third on a receiver, would that be shocking to you?
Wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
Seeing our wide receiver room, I'm all for it. Because why? It's like, if we take two receivers, I feel good that one of them a hit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good that one of them a hit.
Sometimes you got to double up. And the Bills have done that in the past. You saw them take two tackles. One of them is a starter. You've seen them take two defensive ends. One of them is a starter.
Yep.
You know, it's happened a couple of times. They've taken multiple receivers.
Yep.
Didn't work out. But sometimes they do double up. And if the value is there, pull the trigger. Especially if you have the roster spots available.
Right. And I always been a proponent. I think what the Washington Commanders did a few years ago was genius. If you don't have a quarterback, take two. Take two of them. One of them going to probably hit. You know?
And both of them did.
Yeah. RG3 was great for a short amount of time until he got hurt. And then Kirk Cousins, he's still without a mask. He's probably the most well-paid person in NFL history considering his production. And God bless him. God bless him. I ain't mad at you. I'm far from a hater. I'm not mad at you at all. He needs to be in a Hall of Fame because of that.
I think so. Does.
His agent needs to be in a Hall of Fame.
Somehow his timing is unreal.
It's uncanny. Like, I tell you, I agree.
Don't know how that guy does it.
But he gets it done, man. He does just enough. And his contracts come out at the right time. And market dictates it. And he gets paid. He has made more money than Tom Brady has made.
Oh, well,
and he's won one playoff game.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I always said that everybody thought it was crazy. If you don't have a quarterback, all the years we didn't have a quarterback before Judson, we should have been drafted two of them. Because it's the most important position. So all the teams that didn't make the playoffs, if you ain't got a quarterback, you should be trying to draft two or three of them this draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have tryouts.
Tryouts.
That's the most important position in sports. is the quarterback position. You got to get it. You got to figure out a way.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yes.
All of this is to say we're talking about the draft today.
Yes. We just took 30 minutes out babbling about it, but yes.
So let's talk about it, because you sent me an article. Brandon Bean has been with the Bills for 5 drafts, mm-hmm. and they range from unsuccessful to off the charts incredible.
Wow.
Can you believe the span of results that they've gotten?
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can believe it.
All right.
It's... I always said that Brandon Bean is okay. Like I said, we missed on some first, second, third round picks, but he's hit on some fourth, fifth, sixth round picks.
The Bills had 2 seasons ago more players on the roster that were originally drafted by the team than any other team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a Super Bowl contender. What does that mean to you?
It sounds good, but I think more than anything, it's because of the health of our salary cap.
Okay.
I told you all, and I'm going to keep coming back to this. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. Once Josh Allen get paid and you start losing good players, that's when Brandon Bean becomes more important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more that than anything. We were Super Bowl contenders because we was not playing Josh Allen yet. And we had good players around him. Now, we're not able to get those. We can't get free agents to mend the holes. So now we got to draft well. So now he's earning his money. So I think it's more of that than anything. But that's good. On the surface, hey, we drafted most of this team. We're Super Bowl. But it's more than that in my eyes. In my eyes. What do you think?
About what?
About that. When somebody tells you that Brandon Bean drafted, we were Super Bowl contenders early on when a team full of draft picks, our draft picks.
I would say that Brandon Bean has needed to hit on his picks at the top of the draft more than he has. But the overall success is good. What I don't like is how willing he is to give up draft picks to move up the board, because it compounds the problem when it doesn't work out.
That is true.
That I don't like. When you trade up for Cody Ford or Kyer Elam, you're costing your team.
I agree. Like,
you have to hit. If it's on day one or day two and you move up, you have got to hit on that player.
I 100% agree.
And only 1 year did he ever do any real moving down. And that's in order to draft James Cook. And it was really funny because our text chain that was going around, the Bills dropped back 3 different times in the second round and picked up a 6th round pick each time. And then when they finally pulled the trigger, our friend Seth wrote, "I don't know. It seems like we just missed a great opportunity to add another 6th rounder."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I don't like. When you whiff after trading up. And the other thing that he does, which I'm not content with, is he will move up to a team that isn't currently on the clock. Team's not on the clock, but the Bills move up to try to get a player. Well, what ends up happening? Well, the Bills did not move up to try to get Kyer Elam. They moved up to try to get Trent McDuffie. And then Kansas City jumped them to draft Trent McDuffie, who has been lights out. Bad move.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're stuck in a position where you got to take a player who you didn't necessarily want, and he fell on his face, and you gave up extra picks in order to do it. Ooh, that's bad.
But to me, what would be the smartest thing is the fact that if you move up, it's got to be two guys that you wouldn't, two or three guys who you like in case one is gone. You got to have a backup.
Of course.
You can't give up those kind of assets. To me, that's a mistake to mm-hmm. give up that kind of assets, hoping and banking on one thing and it ain't there. Now you just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, but once again, I'm just a guy sitting in his living room on a podcast. To me, my rationale would be it got to be two or three guys there in that situation that I really like,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make that worth doing, in my opinion.
I'm absolutely with you. So is it time to dive into?
Let's do it.
Putting these in order?
Yes. So the article that Jamie G is referencing, it was an article on Buffalo Lowdown ranking Brandon Bean's first five draft classes. Obviously, we're not including last year's draft because it's too early to talk about that, mm-hmm. even though we kind of did with Dalton Kincaid. But so what they did was they ranked the last five drafts before this past year. And so the worst one being class of 2021. They ranked that number five.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's produced Greg Rousseau and Spencer Brown, but it also included Boogie Basham in the second round, who we always talk about in nauseam. All right. And then Tommy Doyle, Marquise Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Damar Hamlin was a part of that draft. And then, yo, boy, I remember we drafted this dude, Rashad Wild Goose. You remember that? And
then
he was like,
absolutely.
Man, I can't wait to get a Wild Goose jersey, Buffalo Bills jersey. Yeah. All right. So, also, we had Jack Anderson at the end of the draft. So, that's the worst. That was ranked number five.
Yes.
So, what do you think about that?
It is by far the Bills' worst draft because Stevenson and Wild Goose are out of football. Jack Anderson has played on four different teams. Greg Rousseau, good pick. The guy is a legit edge defender, one of the best run defenders in the NFL. You got Spencer Brown, who really came into his own this past year. Might have been the Bills' best offensive lineman through mm-hmm. stretches of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. But Boogie Basham, oh, man, you double-dipped at edge when a guy was on the board that everybody knew you should select. Everybody knew you should select Creed Humphrey. Well, the Bills didn't do it, and in his rookie season, he was an all-pro.
Yep.
He's been a top-five center ever since. You could have moved on from Mitch Morse years ago and saved that salary. It didn't work out. Tommy Doyle hasn't really gotten on the field. The guy has had two huge injuries over the past 2 years. He's probably never going to make it on the field. It's not anyone's fault, per se. He's an athletic guy, just getting hurt. Damar Hamlin, we know his story. He's right. probably going to be on the Bills again this year. He is a depth player. So out of that, you got a guy who the Bills let go. Two starters, a guy the Bills let go, a guy who can't get on the field, and a backup.
Yep.
Hmm. That's not too good.
Not too good, my friend.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, we did my technique. We drafted first and second round. We drafted two ends and one of them worked out. So,
yeah,
I guess I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. That's it. It's, you know, 4 years later, dude, this is not a good draft. So,
no,
three years.
The next one. And now I thought the one that they had is number four, number three should have been switched around.
Okay.
So tell me what you got.
You mean the class of 2019?
Yeah.
All right. So that's the number four. You got Ed Oliver with the ninth overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We all know how we feel about Ed Oliver. All right.
Cody Ford.
Huh?
In the second round. Cody Ford in the second round.
Yep. We know how you feel about your boy Cody Ford.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got Devin Singletary and Dawson Knox in the third.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cody Ford.
Then Voshawn Joseph in the fifth.
Then Jaquan Johnson, Daryl Johnson, edge rusher, and Tommy Sweeney, tight end.
So Ed Oliver is good, and I think he's actually underrated.
Right.
Devin Singletary was a solid player for the Bills. Dawson Knox is a solid pick, too.
Yep. But he's no longer here.
No, you can't really control what happens in free agency.
Okay. All right.
So when you're
grading them, you're just saying what they are versus, you know, them being with the Bills and what they did with the Bills.
Well, it's sort of what, it's to me, I'm looking at the overall package. How do they contribute to the Bills, and are they still a contributing player in the NFL? And we'll get to that because. Okay. Specifically, there's a player I did want to talk about regarding excelling with another team.
No,
because what that means is the potential was there. It wasn't a bad pick. The Bills may have made a bad decision in letting the person go.
Right. And then, okay. So you got those two, I guess, well, those three. Cody Ford, the Dawson second round Knox. Pick.
That one kills me because they moved up to get him.
Nope.
He needed a tackle. They fell on their face. Voshon Joseph never got on the field. Athletic linebacker, nothing. Jaquan Johnson, he was a depth piece that they were able to move on from. Daryl Johnson, decent special teamer. They traded him for a low level player. And Tommy Sweeney was just a depth player again.
Right.
Now, they really liked him, but he didn't stick around.
Right.
So, what are your feelings?
Not very good.
Ed Oliver, Devin Singletary, Dawson Knox, not very good?
Compared to what we're going to say, these guys at the bottom, dude, they're not even like in the league no more. These are guys that we drafted.
Daryl Johnson and Tommy Sweeney are in the league still.
What about Joseph?
No, Joseph and Johnson are out. Okay. As is Cody Ford.
As is Cody. That's three guys.
Dude, you got three starters, including a borderline Pro Bowler in there. I don't think that's bad.
But you rank. Oh, so you said you switched them. So you said this should be the third ranked draft.
Yeah, right. I think that this should be the third ranked draft.
Okay.
But you're not happy with this, huh?
Three guys out of the league. That's what I focus on.
Three solid starters.
And this is 4 years later. You drafted guys that aren't in the league. So that's why I focus. And then you say, well, you got these starters. If this was the Josh Allen draft, we're going to talk about that, I will understand. But it's Ed Oliver, which is great, Pro Bowler. But Dawson Knox, okay. And Singletary, who ain't even with us no more. So I guess when I look at that, I just focus on the fact that you drafted three dudes and weren't even in the league 4 years later.
Okay, so
that's what stands out to me with that. That's all.
Let's go to the 2020 draft. That okay. is, they didn't have a first-round pick, and they drafted AJ Epenesa, Zach Moss, Gabe Davis in the fourth round, Jake Fromm, Tyler Bass, Isaiah Hodgins, Dane Jackson. As I read the list, I'm actually liking this a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake Fromm was a terrible miss.
Right.
Isaiah Hodgins, he looked good for a few games for the Giants, but he's without a team now. The rest of them are starters.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, what are you talking about right now?
And Dane Jackson got a big contract this offseason after being a very solid depth piece for the Bills and starter.
Gabe Davis got paid. AJ Epenesa, we paid him. Yeah, dude. Zach Moss balling.
Yeah. Tyler Bass. People Tyler talking Bass. About him being a Pro Bowler.
Tyler Bass. Yeah, dude.
And this is a pretty good draft.
Yeah.
Who's the best player from this draft?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think it's Dane Jackson.
Ooh. Dane Jackson. No, I can't say Dane Jackson. You mean who's the best player with us or who's the best player, period?
Who's the best player, period?
Zach Moss.
Get out of here. He's not even a full-time starter.
But when he led the league in rushing for a little while. What are you talking about right now?
What do you mean for a little while?
Zach Moss was playing very well at first, right? Okay. Then he kind of fell off.
He played in 14 games and had a shade under 800 yards. He averaged 4.3 yards a carry. I mean, that's mid-level starter.
But what I'm trying to say is ain't none of these guys world beaters. So I get, all right, that's good.
Epinesa has a chance to become the
ugliest. Well, we're not talking about who got potential. We're just saying right now, who's the best player out of this draft?
Okay.
You can't say AJ Epinesa. Gabe Davis, he had a wonderful playoff game.
Yeah, he's not great. So,
okay, but he's the second receiver. AJ Epinesa ain't started for us yet for real. You can say Tyler Bass. Dane Jackson is okay. Hodges, nope. I'd say Zach Moss had the most success out of those names.
Not with the Bills, but yes. And yes. I'm going to say this is actually a decent draft in the sense of they got solid production from five guys in this draft. That's more than you get out of a typical draft.
That is.
You have seven picks and five of them are contributors, if not starters. That's a pretty good hit percentage right there.
I just wish we could have held on to Zach Moss. I like Zach Moss.
Well, could have, right. But it wasn't working for him in Buffalo.
It wasn't. I wish we could have held on to Isaiah Hodges. All right. We still trying to find a receiver. All right. Who else? Vanessa. Gabe Davis. I don't care about him.
No, I'm fine with him leaving.
I didn't want to overpay for Gabe Davis at his one game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's a decent draft. And just, once again, with that draft, most of them, it didn't work out for us, but at least they're still in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking that draft, number three. All right?
So number two, are we looking at the 2022 draft?
The 2022 draft.
Now, it started off poorly with Kyer Elam, but in the second round, it went James Cook, Terrell Bernard, Khalil Shakir, Matt Areza.
Who just got picked up by the Chiefs.
Yes.
And we talked about that. I told you how I felt about that. So,
now he's going to end up making the Hall of Fame as a punter with
probably.
The Chiefs. Yeah.
Probably.
Christian Benford, Luke Tenuta, Baylen Spector.
Yep.
Okay, so the players that did not contribute was Matt Areza because of obvious reasons that I've talked about, and Luke Tenuta ended up retiring due to injuries.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not who I'm thinking of. He just didn't make the team.
All right.
So he's out of football. Kyer Elam, he's not looking so good. But yep. James Cook, Terrell Bernard, Khalil Shakir, Christian Benford, talk to me, buddy.
This is the backbone of our team.
It is, isn't it?
It's the backbone of our team. Hopefully, we can get something out of Elam this year. That's one of the points, and we're going to talk about that this summer. If we could get something out of Elam, bro, like, for you to be a first-round pick, and not get a jersey on game day, that means that we have, because as a first round pick, you get every opportunity to succeed. And so for you not to be able to get a jersey when we need corner help, that must mean it's so very bad.
Yeah.
It's so very bad, right? I just hope this year, and we talked about this at the beginning of the pod, can he be our third corner? Is a rookie in the fourth round going to beat him out? I'm hoping, that you can be serviceable and we can at least use you somewhat as a former first round pick. All right. As far as James Cook, Terrell Bernard, and Shakur, all three, second, third, and fifth round picks. All right. Blue collar workers. James Cook made the Pro Bowl, or where the force of a Pro Bowl that it is now. Mm-hmm. Backbone of our team. I love it. I love it. Matt Ariza's going to go on. He's probably going to do good with the Chiefs. We cut him. I get it. You had to do it at the time. We ain't going to get into it again. He's going to probably do good. Mm-hmm. Matt Ariza, they was calling this dude the punt god. So, and the inspector, depth guy, and just 2-3 years later, Luke Tenuta's the only person that's not around.
Mm-hmm.
Very good draft. If we could get this draft, meaning you come away with how many starters? 1, 2, 3.
You got 3 and a key depth player in Shakur.
You got Shakur. Well, are we counting Shakur as a starter, as a slot?
Well, no? I guess you could.
He's a starter, so that's 4 starters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he looked like the Bills' best receiver at the end of the year. He was the most productive.
Let's just label him as a starter, because let's say he's a starter slot. James Cook, running back. Terrell Bernard, linebacker. And then Benford. That's 4 starters.
And I think Benford is hugely underrated.
Yes.
I think he's a really good player.
I agree. You give me 4 starters out of this draft, I'd be ecstatic.
Absolutely.
I'd be ecstatic. So that's what I'm looking for. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
The 2022 draft, man, I'm happy. A few years later, you evaluate it. I know everybody going to look at Elam. He's a bust so far. Hopefully, we can get something out of him. And God forbid, if we get something out of him, you know, a couple of years later, you know. So maybe the light will come on. Or maybe we'll just let him go after this year. Give me 4 starters. I'll take it. That's good drafting.
You want to hit on those first rounders, but if you miss on the first round and still end up with 4 starters, I can live with it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Because you're just switching. Because it's like, okay, Elam was supposed to be not only a starter, but an impact guy, right? But you got an impact guy. Would you say? Bernard balled this year, dude.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm like, I don't want to be disrespectful. Cook, Pro Bowl. Bernard was an impact player. Shakur came on at the end of the year. And then Benford's an impact guy.
Benford, he's your number 2. Like I said, Benford is underrated.
So this draft is great. That's why he ranked him number 2, and I think that's well deserved.
Yep. Right. And then number 1.
Number 1 draft, and all know which draft that is.
The 2018 draft, dude, this is ridiculous. What the Bills came away with in the 2018 draft is just an embarrassment of riches.
Yes. And so, it begins when it ends with Josh Allen.
Right. They got it right. They gave up a lot in order to move up to get him. They still had a lot available to them. So they traded up in the first round a second time and took Tremaine Edmonds, who ended up being a Pro Bowler.
Multiple Pro Bowls.
Uh-huh. Third round pick. Harrison Phillips,
who I hated to see go.
Hated to lose him.
Hated to lose him.
Good defensive tackle.
Yep.
And playing really well. He's playing really well in Minnesota. He was playing really well in Buffalo.
He was.
To see the guy go. Taron Johnson, the most underrated and probably most important player on the Buffalo Bills outside of Josh Allen, is Taron Johnson. He makes the entire defense work. He's the best slot corner in the NFL.
In the league.
And he just got a nice extension.
Yep.
Wow. Fifth round, Saran Neal. Depth piece, excellent special teamer. Very important player to the Bills with the depth that he provided. Then their other fifth round pick. Oh, this is the one that gets you going. Wyatt Teller, all pro guard for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, my God. Wish we could have kept this guy around.
It turned out to be a great selection, but the Bills made a bad decision letting him go.
We gave up on him too soon.
Yeah. So when we were talking about, well, do you rate a player for what he did on the Bills or what he's done in the NFL? I think you have to rate it on what they've done in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, just because sometimes you make a bad decision on either trading away or cutting a player, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a good pick.
Right.
And then, sixth round, Ray McLeod, who has found himself a very nice niche as a kick returner for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
The number seven pick, Austin Prohl, didn't even make the practice squad. The Bills just cut bait with Ricky Prohl's kid. He must have, in addition to not being very good, he must have just been an ass.
Right. Yeah, for him not to even have a spot, I agree. To have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, all right, in Josh Allen, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
Then you double, just like you mentioned, Teron Johnson, one of the best slot corners, if not the best slot corner in the league. All right. Wyatt Teller is going to probably be a Hall of Famer if he stay on the trajectory he in.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great draft. Some of it worked out for us. Edmonds, multiple-time Pro Bowler, all right? Harrison Phillips, he's going to be a multi-year starter, very productive player, even though most of it won't happen with the Bills, all right?
Right.
This was a hit for a draft.
You know what? This is the kind of draft that general managers and fans dream of.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, in one draft, they ended up with two players who are arguably top three at their position in the NFL, and you can make an argument that Tremaine Edmonds is top 10.
Yep.
So wait a minute. Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds. Wait, Josh Allen, Taron Johnson, Wyatt Teller. Arguably top three at their positions in the NFL. Three players, not two. Three players.
Three.
Holy crap.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, QB and corner, very important positions. High positional value.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think we started out high and he just kind of fell off? Like, how do you look at the, like, now we looked at all the drafts. We started out high and just got worse?
No. No, I don't think so, because the two best drafts, they were 2018 and 2022.
Yeah.
So it almost, I mean, it basically bookends what we were looking at. And, oh, by the way, it's too early to decide on it, but, you know, the Bills came away with last year's draft with two starters and potential for a third if Dorian Williams can get a little bit better at playing within the system.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about it. What do you think at best? All right, let's look at it like this. Project it out, and we're about to wrap this up. We're having a little fun at the end. Project it out. What do you think this draft could land?
I think if
it goes the way you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Like, I think this draft is going to end up, it's going to wind up being number three in this list, and it's going to vie for number two, because I think both Kincaid and Torrance are going to be potential Pro Bowlers. And if you get two, not just starters, but Pro Bowlers out of six selections, that's pretty good.
So you feel like they could be, if they make Pro Bowls, they could finish number two.
Is that potentially?
Potentially. So it's not going to pass 2018 draft. With Josh Allen.
No.
Okay. All right. So we agree.
Okay. Like, we may not see a 2018 draft come from any team in the NFL for the next 5 years.
Okay. So we agree on that.
Yeah.
But the number two draft is the 2022 draft. with Elam, James Cook, Terrell Bernard, and Shakur.
Yeah, and so Benford. So four starters.
Where right now, let's look at the 23 draft. We got Kincaid, first round, Torrance, second round, Deron Williams, third, Justice Shorter.
Who we don't know anything about at this point.
Nick Broeker from, let's see, guard, the seventh round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He and Alex Austin are, they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah,
we don't know what we have in Justin Shorter because he was injured the entire season. Deron Williams, we've got a guy who they, it looked like he was going to be a starter. He just couldn't figure out the system, but he's much more athletic than most people on the field. So if he can figure it out mentally, he could be a really good player.
Okay. I won't push back too hard.
Where do you think it would land?
I would give you number three.
Okay.
It would fight with the 2020 draft.
Okay.
AJ Epenesa, Gabe Davis, you know, Zach Moss.
Dane Jackson.
I don't even know who can fight with this one.
The Bills got two starters out of the 2020 draft, and Epenesa has always been a backup. Zach Moss was a backup, but now is going to be a starter in Cincinnati. Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. I will put him there. I'll probably put him solid at three.
Okay.
At best.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to stay.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, this was kind of fun.
It was, man. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. We ran a little long, man. We went over an hour, man. You're going to have to cut some of this.
Yeah,
We don't get paid overtime here.
No, we don't. Here's the thing about a couple of weeks. I'm going to be out of the country. We may have to record over the weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, weekend of the 13th. We're going to have to. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, right before the drive. We'll have to do that. Let me know. I'm headed to Cleveland tomorrow for the women's Final Four, so I'm excited.
Ooh.
So my bracket's busted. I got beat this week.
You thought Iowa was going to lose.
Yeah, I had LSU over Iowa, man. I knew how good Caitlin Clark was, but I just thought LSU, and I still do, they have a better roster. They have a better coach. It's just Caitlin Clark, man, 40 points. Hit damn near 10 threes. She was just too much, man. So,
you know,
I underestimated that girl, man. She's the best ever to do it.
College basketball, even professional basketball, one player can will a team to a championship.
Yeah. And she certainly did it. And LSU, if you give me the rosters person to person, I'm going to take LSU and their coach. But, man, last night you saw something special, man. So I really enjoyed it. And then you got UConn playing. That was a good game against USC. USC got a freshman, Juju Watkins, from Compton, California. She's going to be amazing. So I'm looking forward to it, man. And I'm going to take Jalen. We're going to go to Canton, over to Canton, and go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and take pictures with the bus.
Jalen's going too?
Yeah, man. I'm dragging Big J, man. His first spring football game Saturday. He's going to miss it to go to the Final Four, man. That's his thing. So
that's so cool. Yeah.
So it'll be fun, man.
I wanted to ask you, how did you feel about when Caitlin Clark was complaining and her father on the side started yelling at her to stop?
Hey, I 1,000%, because people was talking about it and they was asking me about it. And I was like, I understand how that feels, man. I do that to Simone all the time. Shut the hell up.
Stop chirping and play.
Shut up and play. If you're going to get mad, don't get mad at the referee. Get mad at your opponents and do something. Because you argue with the referees, you're never going to win.
Right.
It's going to probably work bad for you more than it'll work good. you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I 1,000% understand that. This year, and I know we got to go. Let me just say this real quick. This year, at the beginning of the year, I tried to, because my wife was like, man, you need to quit chirping at some old college coaches, see that stuff, right? And I tried, man. I tried to listen to my wife. I tried to sit up at the top of the bleachers and don't. And yeah, that worked out for about 2 or 3 games. I find myself courtside. Yeah, I got to sit courtside so I can listen to my daughter. And I want her to see my face. When you're out there BSing, I want you to see the disappointment. Come on, let's turn it up. Now, granted, I'm not telling her to shoot. I tell her, hey, come on, man, you ain't doing nothing. Do something. Hey, man, let's D up. Hey, watch backside. I do say those things. All right? So I do understand when she chirping at the ref, shut the hell up and play ball. I've done that plenty of times just this season. So I 1,000% agree with Kaylin Carr's dad. I get
it. Oh, man. When I was coaching my brother, well, I was helping out. I wasn't officially a coach. I would sit there on the side. This is basketball. And like the entire time, I'm like, pass it over there, over the corner. Oh, bip, 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 bip. And my mother's like, Jamie, you got to stop.
Yeah, women don't really like that. See, my wife hates when I do that, but I don't care. I told my wife at times, I'm like, look, either I'm going to be me or I just won't go. If you feel like I'm embarrassing you or I'm hurting you, I get it. I just won't go. But I just can't sit there with I can't just sit there on my hands. And
fortunately,
so,
Simone considers you her bestie, so she lets it go.
Yeah. It bothers my wife, though. She thinks I'm embarrassing, which I understand. Oh, you know.
Well, it's your job to embarrass your wife.
Yeah, man. All right, last thing, man. RIP Devontae Davis. He passed away yesterday.
Yeah. So that's not great.
He infamously quit during the game.
Yeah.
Who were we playing that game? Were we playing the Colts? I forgot who we were playing.
Man.
But he literally quit at the halftime of the game. And I don't know. Did he get picked up after that?
No, he retired. I don't remember
that. So he retired. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. So, that was the thing. At halftime, he was like, actually, even before halftime, he's like, I'm done. I'm retiring. I don't have another minute of football left in me.
Right. And it's so funny, man. You know, when people pass away, we try to think of the good things and reminisce. And some of those are funny situations. Go to Twitter if you Google him. Because at first I thought it was April Fool's. You saw a whole bunch of stories yesterday. I didn't know if it was true or not. So you Google it. And you see Shady McCoy on there talking about how Vontae Davis quit at halftime. And it is hilarious. So if you want to see something funny, them telling the story about when he quit at halftime of the game, go ahead and search it up on X. So, but yeah, gone way too soon, man. But RIP to him and his family. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, you have fun, my friend. If we don't talk to you, if not, I guess we'll see y'all in a week and a half.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let's go, Buffalo.